You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Each week, the CEO Series takes you inside the minds and lives of some of Canada, indeed the world's top leaders, to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing business issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us. Justin Trudeau, Muhammad Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Dr. Joanne Liu, International President of Doctors Without Borders. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice, the kind of thoughtful leaders that come to visit us at McGill. Today, I'm in Toronto, delighted to be speaking with Jason Robinson, CEO of Evoco, a sustainable plant-based materials company that helps provide natural footwear products, making the world a better place. Jason, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Carl.
Tell us about your early years. Where did you grow up and what was your family up to?
Early years, I was actually born in Woodstock, Ontario, so kind of rural southwestern Ontario, and grew up in Hamilton. It was an interesting time. I played hockey as a kid, as you know, most young Canadians do, and actually played up to AAA. But I think, you know, I was reflecting on this, and it would be very interesting to ask my elementary school teachers or high school teachers, what is Jason's as CEO of a company today? I think they would be shocked very surprised. So I was a little bit of a challenging environment growing up. Had some challenges in high school and had to leave high school, but it came back in and went to grade 14, got my OACs at that time and went into chemical engineering at McMaster. So
high level of hockey. What position did you play?
Goalie.
Okay. So psychologically, why goalie? Was it, what did it appeal to about being a goalie?
Foundationally, on a hockey team, the goalie is where it starts and ends, right? I think, and I just, as a young kid, I was just attracted to the challenge of that. And, when I was 5 or 6, I was cut from the team, went to house league, played defense, and I was not a very fast skater. So normally, as a not best skater, you'd end up in goalie. But I was a really good goalie. I loved the position. I was very focused on the game all the time. And when I went through these processes of getting ready for the game, I would be so nervous all the time. But once I just got into play, I was just completely focused and I just loved watching the game and how it developed and how it came from one end to the other.
So I've interviewed Ken Dryden a few times, and there's a statue of him in downtown Montreal in a mall. And the famous thing, he's a tall guy as well, his hands are resting on the goalie stick.
Yeah.
Because half the time, it's at the other end of the, and you can't go up there. Like if the goalie starts skating up there, we go back. And it's something where, as a goalie, you're only engaged in half the game in one sense.
Right.
I mean, you're watching, you're thinking, you might have some advice. Where if you're a forward, the whole game, you're engaged.
You're always engaged, yeah.
So it's interesting. Ken's theory was that it appealed somewhat to more introverted people. So it's a very different, it's kind of you're more in your own head. Thinking a fair bit.
Yes, and I am kind of very reflective in that way. I mean, people would be quite shocked to say, think of me as an extroverted person, but actually I'm very much more of an introverted person. I think that's why people may sometimes misinterpret me a little bit.
So there was no hope of the NHL. Like, you were good, but at the NHL level.
Well, there was a glimmer of junior hockey and that sort of thing, but I think I realized very quickly that was probably not going to be my future. I probably had to dedicate more time and energy to that. And, I was a great goalie, let's say my dad says I was a great goalie.
Sure. Yeah.
But I will say that I spent my summers doing other things instead of playing hockey. So I think,
So what was your family up to? What did they work at or whatever?
My mother was a nurse. My father was, worked for a paper company or a supplier to the paper industry. So I grew up middle class in Hamilton, Ontario. And, I think it was, a big thing for me to get to university. I think there was not a lot of hope at one point. But to get to university and to do what I did, I think was... I overcame some challenges as a young person. I think, but I can say about my family is that, there's always a lot of love. And I think that's what kind of helped me through these times.
We're speaking with Jason Robinson, CEO of Evoco, a sustainable plants-based materials company that helps provide natural footwear products to manufacturers around the world. I'm Carl Moore, and you're listening to the CO Series. So where, what university and what did you study?
Chemical engineering, McMaster. You know, McMaster is an interesting program. The first year is general engineering. I thought I was going down the software route, and then I was sitting at trying to program up my computer for hours on end and thought that wasn't for me. Go back to a little bit more hands-on stuff and went into the chemical engineering side, partly because my father was working in the paper industry and knew chemical engineers. It was not a well thought out plan. And I think engineering and it, you know, was good for me in many ways and really, you know, not good for me in others. In the fact that just the education system or maybe the institutional part of the education system, I wasn't flourishing at, but I was great at concepts and understanding concepts and stuff like that. And math, I was always good at math.
So first job at a university.
So I worked in France right out of university doing engineering, running models actually, mass balances as, or energy balances on a program. And I wasn't really working there. I was living in France and enjoying that. And I think that's where I found my love of wine.
How did you get to Evoco? What brought you here and how long ago was that?
So Evoco in my mind has been there from the beginning. So I've spent my career in clean tech. And the with the idea that, you know, business can do better for the planet, for the people. But where Evoco stemmed was this idea that clean tech was not very consumer facing.
Okay.
And so I kept thinking about how do you bring the message of the climate issue, not just from the fact that we have this overwhelming issue that we need to solve and this, you know, this urgency to it.
Yeah.
But how can you as a consumer change your habits to reduce your impact on the environment. So that was a thought all the way through this. And it kind of, I think, serendipitously somehow ended up into a thought of Evoco saying, well, I can actually make materials from plants, not petrochemistry, and turn that into a usable product that a consumer can use. And I had been working in the footwear industry at that time, providing some sustainable solutions to them, and had a natural niche to get in there. So we developed the technology very quickly and commercialized it very quickly.
So you've been thinking about clean tech for about almost 20 years now. That was unusual back then. What brought you to do that? Like, was it some personal thing or was it just kind of life circumstances and you became aware of it?
You know, even in university, like when I had to do a project, it would be, you know, on wind back then, which was still, you know, very new. But I did a big project on fuel cells and how, you know, the understanding of, you know, it actually did a lot of work around, I wanted to work for Bayer, you know, at that back. It just was a thing because I read a lot and I read about what's happening in the world and there was always an issue with climate. We just didn't make it as prevalent as it is today,
okay.
Right? And I did want to work in that environment. But as an engineer, you get a job as an engineer and you are you go out and get a job because you want to make some money. But I very quickly realized that I had a purpose and it was in climate change, climate tech, clean tech, businesses.
You're listening to the CO Series, and today we're sitting down with Jason Robinson, CEO of Evoco. Now, one of the things we talk about at the business school is Zs are looking for, Generation Z are looking for purpose. I think everybody is, but you found it at a relatively young age and have brought that forward. At one level, business to business, if you know, we have less oil producing electricity and more hydro or geothermal, this is going to change the world in a positive way.
Right.
But why do we, you care about consumers, and rightly so, why is it consumers are important?
Well, because, you know, systemic change is not done by the governments. They're not going to come out and save us and provide solutions for us. And you can't always count on business to do it. So we have to take accountability for our own lives to make change, right? And change is now, change is incremental. And as we, as consumers, create that voice of, yes, we want products or we want materials or we want businesses to be climate focused at this point and not just think about the bottom line, but think about the impact of what you're doing as a business to get to the bottom line, and start to really focus on these massive challenges. We cannot work without business. We have to work. We need the economy to flourish.
Yeah.
That helps other social elements of our economy. But, you know, we have to focus on taking some of this responsibility, accountability on for ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think that by bringing this message to the consumer, they will start to understand that even something as purchasing as something as simple as a shoe can make a drastic change on the environment as more people purchase more shoes and more materials become more environmentally friendly.
From your viewpoint, how serious is climate change, Jason? Is it the most important issue we're facing, or what evidence is there that this is really a serious issue in your mind?
Well, I think, you know, I'm going to say something as when I grew up in Hamilton, Ontario as a kid, there was always snowy winters. So put that back several decades ago, right?
Yeah.
And that has changed, right? So something as small as that. But I mean, I'm a believer in science, believer in fact. I'm an engineer, so I read about the studies, and I think the science is there, right? We're seeing this impact our daily lives through climate patterns, through a variety of things. So I think it's the most biggest issue and biggest threat to humankind. And I think we need to start acting now and not wait for something to change and not wait till 2050 to have EV across, you know, all sectors of the automotive industry. You know, I think we need to start looking at how we systematically change while still having a standard of life that people desire.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Jason Robinson, CEO of Evoco. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about what is happening with Evoco, what does exactly Evoco do, and how is it helping the environment in just a moment.
Top-notch insight from proven leaders. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today with Jason Robinson, CEO of Evoco. Jason, what is Evoco? What do you guys do?
Evoco aims and has a mission to replace petrochemistry from everything you wear, walk on, sit on, or drive in. And I think it's a significant and prevalent problem that we just do not understand the impact of materials on the environment and its impact on climate change. Fashion and footwear account for 10% of global emissions. That could double in the next 10 years without change. We're driving more cars, we're wearing more shoes, we're wearing more clothes, we're buying more beds. And that is an impact not only from carbon, but pollution and waste. Evoco aims to tackle that by using plants as a raw material rather than oil, and to turn that into chemistry, materials, and products. And, you know, our mission is to, you know, stop unsustainable goods for good. And that is a true mission that we are following. And, you know, everything we do from innovation side to the sales side is reflected on that.
So the idea is that we can raise plants. There's less environmental impact. Plants can then become part of our footwear. And then after we're done with wearing the footwear, it can then be recycled and go effectively back to the soil.
Yeah, and so we focus on the cradle to cradle of our products. So some maybe, you know, like for example, we have technology in thermoplastics, which may be more amenable for recycling. But some of these other materials, like the materials you find in furniture or in your mattress, cannot be recycled or not readily recyclable. And they're often thrown to landfill. We're creating these types of materials that actually can be biodegraded in industrial composting environments. And that is about this idea of natural circularity. So the recirculation of carbon rather than a recirculation or circularity of a product.
So what does Evoco mean? Like, what does the word mean?
Well, there's some, you know, let's put it simply, the evolution of a company. And that's the concept of to evolve business mentality and innovation towards bigger purposes.
How long has it been around?
We've been around this current inception for about 5 years, so not a young company, but not an immediate startup. So we are But we've made a lot of progress in that time. But as I was kind of mentioning, you know, the thought of Evoco and the concept of Evoco kind of was developed over the course of my career.
What was your last position before you started Evoco full time? What were you doing?
I was a president of a division working with some sustainable technologies, working with my now partner of Evoco. We were 50-50 partners until our recent fundraise. But and I was a president, and I was accountable for a P&L, basically.
Not to rub it in, but you were probably making more money. So, but again, on the other hand, you have an equity position, and you're, you know, you and your partner are the boss, so it gives you freedom to do what you think's important. As a CEO, you come up with a vision. How many employees are you up to now?
We're about 30. We're going to probably add another 5 over the next month. So, you know, I could probably say that we're probably going to double over the next 12 months in terms of size of people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're a global company. We have operations in Asia. We're expanding into Europe and the U.S. And so you need a team to grow with you and grow with the ambitions of the company and grow with your customer pipeline.
So when we think about startups, you think about a minimally viable product. You think about, you can't, you know, conquer the world at first. So the first product was footwear. Was that where you started?
We started in footwear. We had I came from the industry, so we had contacts. My colleague, VP of sales, 30, 40 years in footwear experience. So we used that knowledge and understanding to understand and find a niche in the marketplace. And I think, that niche is very much expanding into being status quo. And I think that's we're going to see a lot more of these plant-based alternative chemistries that are much more sustainable over the next 5 to 10 years, because these brands are actually understanding their impact on the environment. I'm attributing to 5% of global emissions just with my materials. How do I have to change? I mean, and so it's top down, but there's also a lot of people, millennials, Generation Z, that are looking and working with these materials saying, we need to do better, right?
Yeah.
And so we're top of that list because I think we've not only innovated a unique technology, but it's performance driven as well, right? So we can put this in a shoe and it's not going to wear out over time. It has enduring performance. And I think where we can look at how we continue to build on this innovation. I mean, innovation is incremental, change is incremental, right? So we have new technologies coming out that can replace fake leather with a much more sustainable material, 85% plant-based, and can take this anything into adhesives, into bedding, or even eventually into automotive.
We're speaking with Jason Robinson, CEO of Evoco, a sustainable plants-based materials company that helps provide natural footwear products to manufacturers around the world. I'm Carl Moore, and you're listening to the CEO Series. So do you have some big name companies that you're working with?
Yes, our first customers are Timberland, Vans, Keen, Kodiak, an Australian company called Baird. And we're in 20 other development projects as we speak. So Vans and Timberland are from VF Corp.
Yeah.
And they are the sixth largest footwear company in the world. So I can tell you that we're in development projects or speaking to the big five as well.
So you made it to the big leagues. You're doing well there. How do you decide your next niche to go after? How do you think about that and how do you approach that? You hear what's next?
You know, you have as a startup, a smaller company, as in our growth phase, you can't take the eye off the ball. So we are still hyper focused on the footwear industry.
Yeah.
But as we create more cash flow from the business and probably look at raising another round, that's when we'd start to go after other verticals and other industries where our materials that are used in footwear are the same innovation platform that we can use in these other verticals.
So it's looking around, talking to people, and maybe it's not as difficult as I think that you go, well, actually, this is a place where it just is a match. And
yeah,
it doesn't take hundreds of years of thinking about it, like it comes along. There's a lab here, a very impressive set of people, lots of interesting degrees, lots of neat people. So there's a marketing side to it, going to the customer side, but there's a lot of science as well. What's the split between science and engineers and kind of salespeople talking to the customers?
Well, that's interesting because I bet you we're, even 12 months ago, 95% technical. Mm-hmm. And I think as a company, and the sales was really done by myself and my colleague, and we realized that we needed much more of a team to support that. And so we brought on more of a leadership team, more sales support, technical support that would help move the business from the innovation platform into commercial reality. And that's what we're seeing. The next stage of growth is coming from that addition of that team.
So it's not, you know, in the past we've talked about greenwashing, and I did work when I did my PhD at the Schulich and Rotman schools. I did a paper on green issues, you know, 25 years ago. And there was greenwashing was an element, but it strikes me as I think there's more of a genuine concern, and we're not going to greenwash it, that this has got to be real. Do you sense that as well? There's a movement to, no, this has got to be the real thing.
Well, I mean, the European Union caught out a couple of large footwear brands for greenwashing, and there's now a libel suit around that. So I think people are taking this very seriously. You know, our focus has always been authentic sustainability, to kind of go out there and quantify the data of the impact, show the performance attributes, give them transparency in what we're doing to so they can either take that message directly to the customer or at least understand the impact within their business. And I think authentic sustainability is a huge aspect and core value of our company.
But do you see consumers around the world responding to it? It's not just in Europe and North America?
You know, I think there's a big push from Western countries, to be honest. But I do see, you know, governments in emerging economies balancing this act between their impact on the climate and global carbon emissions versus, you know, they need long-term sustainable solutions for their people living in their countries, right? So there is a balancing act there, but I think it is being led by Western countries right now.
Yeah.
But I think it's a global issue, and we're starting to see people, you know, regardless of what continent you're on, looking for better solutions, trying to reduce their own carbon footprint.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Jason Robinson, CEO of Evoco. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about how is Evoco financed and how has that evolved over the years.
Exclusive access to some of the most successful leaders out there. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Jason Robinson, CEO of Evoco, and we're at Mars, not the planet. So Jason, what is Mars and why are you here?
Well, Mars Discovery District is kind of an incubator, a growth hub for clean tech or life science or fintech companies. There's a big, obviously, movement within clean tech. So Mars is purposely trying to support clean tech companies by offering supporting fundraising or other types of support mechanisms such as, you know, human resources, strategy support. But also we have our labs here. It's very difficult to find labs across, let alone Toronto, but for most of Ontario, or you have to either build your own at great expense, or we can utilize some existing infrastructure, and Mars has been generous to support us on that. But it's really about the focus is, being an innovation company is to have lab space and have the wherewithal and resources to support our engineers and chemists.
And it's in downtown Toronto, which makes it easier for commuting. And you know, it's a great. Do you also talk to some of the entrepreneurs? You're in this Mars hub. Do you run in and talk to other people? Or are you just too busy running the business to do that?
Well, you always, as a CEO or anybody, and you have to talk to other people because you can learn some things about an industry or learn and talk, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's important. This is a great hub to do that. But Mars are really great at connecting people and stuff as well. And we have an advisor and we have some people supporting us to do that. And there's always a conversation around, oh, I know this guy or a person that can help you or you should talk to them, right? And that's always a great connection piece into, whether it's a contact or even a potential customer.
One of the key issues facing an entrepreneur is funding their startup. Take us through kind of the two or three phases of funding. I assume it was kind of, the beginning, it was just you and your partner funding it.
Yeah.
Best you could. How has it gone from there in terms of funding?
Well, we, me and my partner put the initial seed money in, and we built up the business. We then amalgamated with another company that had some cash flow. So we really bootstrapped and focused on any cash that we could use to build up the technology. But we were very quick to revenues. And that was because we very much were focused on providing a solution that was very prevalent today, but could be used today without significant disruption to a supply chain.
Okay.
For a brand to kind of easily say, yes, we can adopt that and put it into a shoe. So we started with this insole concept, and that created revenue right away. But last summer we closed on a Series A of $5 million, and that helped to move from that bootstrapping environment to kind of a bit more of a growth phase. So as we could, you know, spend a lot on the investment side or the investment spending while driving up revenues. And I think that's why as a company, we're very attractive because we had revenues very early on. We have a brand new technology with strong IP that's generating revenues right away. And that's looking us to kind of, how do we set the company up for the next stage of growth as we expand globally?
So who's funding you? Who gave you the millions?
Forage Capital, they're based out of Calgary, they're an ag fund.
Okay, so they know the industry and the field. So it's great, all of a sudden you have millions of dollars, but you had to go to them and explain what we're gonna do with it. Like, you can't say, I want 5 million. You go, well, we're gonna do this. You have a plan, delivery, targets, and so on. But that's a great relief when you get the money.
Yep.
The downside is you got to give up some equity.
Yes, and I think you always balance the value of what you're doing. If you do it yourself, how long is it going to take?
Yeah.
Can we grow this organically, or are we gonna run into cash flow problems? I mean, we do have a line of credit with our bank, but you know, we do have inventory and receivables that we have to balance and all that kind of stuff as a business. But really, what the to bring the money in was to kind of go to that next level of investment, right? So investment in equipment, and really to build up the team, right? And so there's got to be more of a team or than me. You know, you met some of the people. There's four or five people here right from the beginning, including our COO, Natalie Ashdown, and a couple of the engineers and scientists. But we had to expand upon that team to make it work. And you know, our VP of sales was also with me from my previous business all the way through. So we've had some people stick with us, which is great. It's a compliment to the company and the purpose of the company. But I would say that, you know, we're always looking for a way to compete in this global environment. We're competing against an industry, which is a challenge, right? The petrochemical oil industry is much larger than us, right? So we have to understand that there's going to be novel ways for us to work, innovative for us to work, not just on the innovation side, but how are we going to market and brand and take this technology to the consumer?
We're speaking with Jason Robinson, CEO of Evoco, a sustainable plants-based materials company that helps provide natural footwear products to manufacturers around the world. I'm Carl Moore, and you're listening to the CEO Series. How do you do strategy, Evoco? Is it that you sit down in this office and think deep thoughts and give direction, or how does strategy work realistically at Evoco?
Well, first we start with vision and have a clear vision and communicate that vision from all levels of the business. So our stakeholders, from our customers to the people working in the labs. And that's quite important for us. But it's, you know, we set goals, we set target, we plan, and it's important to have a process to execute on that strategy. But I think we build our strategy with purpose. I think we start with the idea that we're not here to just put a product in the marketplace. We kind of look at this concept of the triple bottom line, right? The social profit as well as social environmental impacts. And I think that strategy, relating back to our core values, is always about creating purpose within the business. And I think that initiates the vision, which then relates down to the targets and the milestones, the objectives from a business, whether it's a quarterly, yearly, or a five-year term.
It probably makes it easier to recruit people. Like, when part of the attraction is, well, they're paid and whatnot, but it's the purpose that kind of gets them to light up.
And you know, people don't come here for a paycheck. I mean, we are an early stage, so we're not offering market rates on a lot of things. We do have to give other people incentives, you know, like options and bonuses and stuff like that. But they're coming here and enjoying what they do. I mean, you saw the energy of the people here today coming in, excited about being a part of this interview and a part of this you know, creating visibility to Evoqua and what we're doing. And I think, you know, and that's because they believe in what they're doing. They're here because they want to do that. A lot of our people come from the petrochemical industry, actually.
Yeah.
A lot of our scientists, engineers have come from that industry because they want to do something different and change, because they may have young families or they're younger people and they want to have a career in this space. So that's how we attract the talent. And then we have to obviously provide monetary benefits that for a standard of living.
What is going to be, where's Evoqua going to be in 5 years? Blue sky for a minute. Okay, footwear, what's a couple big markets after footwear?
We definitely see ourselves going into what I'm going to call the plant-based leather market. We have technology that's can be used for that and adhesives. But we also see, like, we have a patent on a memory foam, which I think that would be great for a bed-in-the-box concept and that sort of thing. Solvent-free. And also, you know, sustainable, biodegradable aspects such as that. So we'd love to work with partners on some of those solutions. And I say that 5 years will be in multiple markets. And I think you'll, you know, Evoqua or some of our branded products will be a name in a household, maybe on your shoe and in your bed.
Today, I'm delighted to be in Toronto speaking with Jason Robinson, CEO of Evoqua. I'm Coral Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about how Jason, in a very demanding CEO position, spends his free time and connects with his family.
They made it, and they're telling you how. You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Jason Robinson, CEO of Evoqua, a company that produces plant-based materials for the shoe industry, among others. How old are your kids now?
Just turned 2 and 6.
So
I had a COVID baby. So, in fact, right. My youngest was born 5 days after lockdown in Toronto. We at the March, his birthday's March 21st. So we were in the throes of lockdown for about 4 or 5 days at that point. I think we went into lockdown officially on the Monday.
So
he was born on a Friday.
Obviously, your wife, you know, you guys know she's like very pregnant that time.
Oh, yeah.
Was she really stressed? Were you stressed by that? Or did you go like, the baby's going to come, what can you do?
I think it was stressful because these were unprecedented times. We didn't even know what a lockdown was, right?
Yeah.
You know, our parents never experienced stuff like this.
Yeah.
And so it was very, very stressful, but at the same time, orders just stopped in our business. We didn't know what was going on. So we're dealing with both the fact that, you know, how are we going to pay our mortgage, to we're bringing in a baby into COVID and none of our parents can see him other than from, you know, 6 feet away. Right. So it was a extremely stressful time. But I think he's a very interesting boy. He's not used to going to restaurants, and he's definitely not used to me traveling at this point. So he when I go away, he just doesn't understand, because I've been home for 2 years.
And you were working at home for a good part of the 2 years.
Yeah, working out of my basement. You know, we have a house in downtown. It's not a very big house, and so we, you know, home built office, working out of our basement with my wife and I both working there while we had kids. You know, at, you know, a 0 to 2 year old and a 4 and 6 year old running around, not being in school or not having, you know, external activities.
Wow.
Extremely challenging, but, you know, the standard thing, your kid pops on a Zoom meeting, and when you're having a customer or he's throwing something at the computer while you're doing a customer call and stuff like that. So, but you can look back at those times as definitely challenging, but we've learned, we got through it, and, you know, the world's changed because of it, right?
So are you coming to work most days now?
Yeah, we're working on a hybrid model here. I have to say, I'm coming in when I'm not traveling now, you know, 4 or 5 days a week. I think, you know, we have a young team, we have a new team, and I think building that culture of Evoqua over Zoom, which was a lot of our hires were done over Zoom at that point, not even meeting, was very difficult. And I think bringing people in has been a huge success. And I think, you know, it just, and people want to come in too. Not full time, but they're happy with that hybrid model of a few days a week for sure. But I will give my R&D team the credit. These guys worked in the lab all the way through COVID. So, brave, strong-willed people coming in to kind of come in and get the work done, understanding they need to be there.
And is the business back now compared to that initial month or two?
The first six months, it was dire. And then yeah. we got Timberland, our first customer, on the EcoFoam side. And basically that made up for most of that year. We had a pretty flat year last year, and this year is just growth with our 2023-2024 pipelines, double-digit growth.
Where are you beginning to travel to?
I just got back from Denver last night. It was okay. Kind of investor conference. I also saw some customers while I was down there. So Denver, I've been to Chicago. I was out in Vancouver at the Globe event where Justin Trudeau I also spoke at. But I'm off to Vietnam in next week or the week after.
Okay.
And, we're trying to get in front of our customers again and build those relationships outside of Zoom. And so there'll be a lot of travel in my schedule in this year. I'm all over the world, to be honest.
You're listening to the CEO Series, and today we're sitting down with Jason Robinson, CEO of Evoco. Why Vietnam?
It's really diversifying your value chain in Asia. So Vietnam is now where a movement of a lot of consumer goods are coming from places like China into Vietnam, and it's kind of becoming a footwear mecca specifically. And a lot of our the shoemaking and componentry and materials are all coming out of Vietnam right now. And I think it's just a place for us to create a good foothold within Asia so we can start to distribute or work with other Southern Asian or other countries where our customers may be operating.
Maybe an unfair question because it's been pandemic and all, but how do you try to keep in shape?
Well, the pandemic wasn't kind to me.
Yeah, okay.
But I am actually getting back into the gym and doing a lot more stuff. I think our softball team is up and running in May, and I just got some new golf clubs. I know it's not the most sustainable sport, but I do enjoy a little bit of sport as a part of my free time.
Okay, so getting back into that, what book are you reading right now?
Well, I read an equivalent of probably about two or three books a week at the moment, but it's usually journals, articles, or scientific journals and stuff like that. The last time I read a book, actually, I'm a little bit of a sci-fi nerd, so I read Isaac Asimov's Foundation to get ready for that TV series that came out in the summer while I was at the cottage. But basically, I do enormous amount of reading, but it's usually revolved around economy, business, technology, stuff like that.
Okay. So, Jason, clearly you're a leader today. When did you first see yourself as potentially a leader? Was it back in the hockey team? Was it in high school? When did you say, I'm a leader?
Well, I think it's really dependent on your definition of a leader. But I would say that right at the back, right when I was a kid, whether it was in school, home, or at work, or even at in the hockey team, I was always challenging the status quo. I always wanted to understand more. I didn't take people's word for it. And I think in that, I thought, I think that just developed naturally for me. It was just that idea of wanting to understand and learn more about things in general. And I think where the leadership role started to come was, yes, there was a leadership role on the hockey team, at certain points. And then team sports helps you actually develop you as a leader as well. I think that's important. But, it started to come out and flourishes over the course of my career.
Where and when are you happiest?
First and foremost is with my family. I think, spending 2 years at home, I think I led a very, travel oriented lifestyle, and you had to do that being a global company, especially a small one. But just watching my youngest grow up and my 6 year old becoming almost a teenager, it brought a lot of joy to my life. So being with my wife and my family, I got home last night at 11 o'clock or 11:30. you know, after today, I'll go home and just be spending time with them in the whole weekend, and just enjoying that. So that's my first and foremost, but I do enjoy doing what I do here at Evoco. And I think it, you know, having a passion about something and building a business and building a team has been a passion of mine.
This is the CEO Series. Jason, thank you for joining us today. We also like to thank our technical producer, Marco Campagna, and our show producer, Youssef Sahoni. Thank you for tuning into the CEO Series. À la prochaine.